Nes Tam Musim and Kuf Samech Hey, Halacha Yud Beis, to Kuf Samech Vav Halacha Gimel. We're finishing up the laws of teaching children. And the Kitzur teaches us that when it comes to the Melamed, the teacher himself, like I said, this is almost not Benimtza, you don't usually find this anymore, because either legal reasons or simply because we're not on the level to hit anymore. But the bottom line is that when the hitting takes place, this is in Halacha Yud Gimel, one should never do it, what's called the makat oyev musar achzori, with cruelty. Not with whips, not with sticks, only with a small little strap. And I mentioned that Moshe Feinstein mentions that he's not even allowed to hold a stick, because that implies he's going to do something which he's not allowed to do. Now, also, Halacha Yud Beis, a little bit out of order, but the Milama Tinekis has to make sure that he's not oyvel, and that is not cursed with the verse that says, where a person is not doing things honestly. So how does that relate to a malamed? A teacher, and this is an amazing responsibility, has to make sure that he's sleeping well. So he's not tired, he's eating well, he's drinking well, he's not drinking too much. All the different things are going to cause him to not be, and this is also one of the major reasons why it's so important that he doesn't have to do other jobs other than this job. And this might be the responsibility of making sure that he's paid well, so this way he doesn't have to look for any other jobs. So this way his ability to teach is up to par. And if not, then the school has a right to remove him. Amazing halacha. Next halacha is that we don't teach little kids on Shabbos anything new. It has to be something that they already learned. And the reason is because it takes more effort to learn something new. Shabbos, having big meals and this and that. So therefore it's more difficult for them to focus. And therefore, we have to be smart. It is interesting that there's I think Zohar says how important it is to be mechadish, but that's really on a personal level. But as in regard to teaching little kids, it should be easier. When it comes to a child that found something, this is also some of a mistaken notion, misconceptions that you can take anything that a katan has, a minor has. Not true. When one's not, if he found something, or meaning that he's allowed to keep, or someone gave him some, you're not allowed to steal it from him. You also have to be careful not to give a child to a teacher that's an Ovid Chavim, is an idol worshiper, to teach him, whether it's a profession, especially when it comes to even any activities. A person has to be careful who the teacher is, because besides the teaching abilities and the information that comes with it, also the what that person believes and the beliefs, and therefore, says the Kitzur Shchonach, that a pikoiris yisrael, that means the Jewish heretic is actually worse than a non-Jew, because he's more likely to feel comfortable and follow. So one has to be very watchful for these things. And now we start Siman Kuf Samech Vav, quite a complicated siman. As we're going to see, there's a major debate, and it's so interesting. Bashgacha, a chashava lady asked me yesterday a shayla about dowsing. I had no idea what dowsing was, never heard of the term. But dowsing is there's a lady actually that does this, that uses any type of pendulum or type of chain and sees in which direction it goes, and based on that decides medical decisions. And it sounds absolutely absurd, but yet it seems to have a lot of validity. It seems to work. It's connected to homeopathy, which is in itself a whole, and there's really two schools of thought. Rabelski, someone like Talmud Rabelski wrote a sefer on this, and Rav Shmerla from Lakewood. Those are the two books that I am aware of, and I actually spoke to the author and discussed the Shaila. And like I said, it's a major split to many of the things that we're going to discuss. So specifically, dowsing seems to be something that works, not really using any divination, whatever, I don't know exactly how to pronounce the word, but there's nothing divine. And therefore, in certain situations, it would be mutter, but everyone has to ask their own Rav and Shaila. We're going to learn the Kitzur Shchanoch, the way he presents these halachas. And he starts off with a pasuk. It starts with a pasuk, lo yisenachashu ve lo yisoneinu. Pasuk in Vayikra. Lo yisenachashu ve lo yisoneinu. So what that means is, nichush usually means something like reading omens and different signs. And toneinu, as we're going to see, is really belief in times. Better times, bad times, etc. So first we're going to discuss menachesh. Again, literally, nichush means to guess. So examples are, if a person says, oh, a piece of bread fell from my hand, or my stick fell from my hand, or my child called me from the back, or I heard a raven, Or classic Muncie things, sightings when you're driving and you see a deer or a snake from your right or a fox from your left. So a person says, you know what, I'm not going to go on that path. Why? It's a bad sign. It means I'm not going to be successful. So this is an example of Nichush. Another example is people that hear birds chirping and it says that's going to be like this or it's going to be like that, or it's good to do this, it's good to do that. Or someone asks someone to pay back a loan. This is even an interesting Kiddush. He's asking to pay back his loan. And the guy says, listen, I don't want to pay back in the morning. It's a bad sign to start off the day with paying back. Or it's a Shabbos or the beginning of the month. Or people that say, you know, we got to shech this chicken because he sounded like a raven, or a hen said like a male chicken. All these things are asr. Someone that does this according to Kiddush Hanoch, he's over a lav. Now, some say that if he doesn't say why he's shechting the animal, then it's okay, and that is the custom. So first of all, we see the less you speak, the better. If you say, I'm doing this because of this bad sign or because of this, then it's much worse. So it's interesting, you could midak actually from the Lashon Ha'omer, it's a bad saying. But again, this is not so simple. As I explained, the Pashto Pshat is believing in these things and already has a fault, as we'll see. The Ikar Pasuk of Tamim Tiyem Hashem and Kecha, to be wholesome with Hashem and trusting with Hashem that whatever happens is supposed to happen. Now, there are exceptions, and these are the exceptions. For example, a house of a baby and a child, what does that mean? The Gemara already says there's no nichash. Already you see that there's an opening. And that is the following. If a person, let's say, bought a house or had a child or just got married, and then he does something, and three times it's successful, then it's a good sign that things are going well. If you three things that didn't go, let's say in investments or in real estate or whatever it is, then it's a sign that's not things are not so much. And you should hold back a little bit. So that, for some reason, that seems to be okay. That's not included in the Yichush. Another example: person's allowed to ask a child, "Hey, what passage did you just learn?" All these things seem to be a little bit more closer, let's call it, to a nevuah, almost like a prophecy, especially psukim. Yes, and tell me a pasuk, and somehow you relate that pasuk to a sign of whether you should do something or not. Not only that, some say you could even make a sign that's going to be based on the future, meaning to say it's not that you said, oh, something just happened and like a deer just came by and that's a bad sign. Rather, person says, you know what, if I'm going to this and this is going to happen, so then I'm going to do this and this. Where do we actually learn that? The Yasav of Avraham, he made a siman to see if the right girl, right, is coming out for Yitzchak or Yonasan ben Shaul. He tried to make a certain sign. If the camping army says something that implies that they should attack, so they're going to attack. So this is a debate, and since it's a debate, meaning it's two opinions, the kitzur ends up by saying, you're going to be surrounded by kindness if you go with wholesomeness and with purity. And for sure, that's the better way to go, unless it's a specific, very special tzaruch. That's what it would seem. And lastly, we're speaking about me'oinen. So me'oinen comes to the lesson of onat time. Person gives specifics time to say, well, I should do something or not. This day is good, this day is bad. It's good to do this work, not good to do this work. Now, one of the most obvious questions is, don't we do the same thing ourselves? We say that you shouldn't get married at certain dates. Specifically, that when the levana is already completely filled, meaning to say that the moon is already towards the end of the month, it's going down. So why is that not considered also nichush? So the kitzur says that's not nichush. Why? That's only a siman tov. Just like when it comes to anointing kings, we do it by a spring to imply that his kingdom is going to be drawn. So this is also a siman that we do, that just like the levana, the moon is getting bigger and fuller and more filled. So too, that's what. But in the Maaseh, any of these things are not a good enough reason to delay weddings. Certainly not to do a chuppas nida. And the custom is actually to start learning on Rosh Chodesh. The fact that people don't start on the second or the fourth, that also some people allow, all based on celestial bodies that dominate the earthly affairs. The start of the morning, meaning, as we know, they already, the Gemara discusses Masechet Shabbos, all the different constellations. So the bottom line is the more a person is trusts us in purely, the better the way. But there are certain leniencies, especially when something is more of a siman, as to whether something is going to be a good siman to start to do something at the right time. But none of these things are certainly binding. And as we said, the more pure. In fact, most like we said, there's two different opinions if that was okay with either then okay, meaning can we do that or not? It seems that one of the easiest ways of explaining is that to say I'm going to do this purely if this and this is going to happen is shver, meaning it's more difficult than saying, you know, I'm going to pray. I'm praying. And if a person converts it into a prayer, the things are going to work out in the best way. That, of course, is the purest form of bitachon, tefillah. Tefillah le'anyan is the strongest way to connect to Hashem, especially that Hashem should fulfill our wishes. Have a beautiful day.